Praise God. Praise
Blog
God.
Talk Radio.
Praise God, everybody. I pray that you have a blessed day and all is well with everyone. And I truly thank God for being here again this evening. Father, in Jesus' name, we truly thank you for another day. We thank you for just bringing us through another day. We thank you for your protection, your provision. We thank you for life everlasting, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you sent your Son, Father God, Jesus, to die on the cross for us in our stead. Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to speak to me and through me. Let the words that I speak, Father God, be edifying to the hearers of my word. Let the words that I speak now, Father God, be your words, and hallelujah, that they build up, encourage, and strengthen your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Truly, I thank God for being here again today. And last week, we were talking about being who God wants us to be, and just doing the will in the work of God. And it's something of a continuation from then. Because, saints, I want you to just take a little deep breath and relax a little bit, please. We're living in a time of deception, betrayal. And I mean in the church, the world. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about not every church. Think about this. If Satan wants to do his damnedest work, where do you think he's going to put his people? Inside the church. He's going to situate them there. Because the word of God said, a house divided against itself is coming down. Satan always wanted what God has, the glory. And we know, we all know God don't share that with nothing and nobody. So Satan have a plan where he's going to infiltrate the church. And you remember back in Matthew where Jesus said that he's going to give the church, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. But see, he didn't say it wasn't going to come against the church. It just ain't going to overcome the church. And that's what's going on now. When I was in the military, and if you ever watched some war films and spy pictures, they always tried to infiltrate from within. When you can infiltrate an organization, a family, cause division from within, it's coming down. And we as the people of God, we got to hold true to God's word. The word of God said, try the spirit. By the Spirit. Everything that say, Lord, Lord, understand, Jesus don't know him. Everything. Because Satan have a plan. We as the people of God, we have to understand the plan of the enemy. It ain't about people. Look beyond the people, please, and see what spirit is behind this. And then when you look at it, you're not judging. You're not judging. When you look at it, go to the word of God and line it up with God's word. See, that's our plumb line. God's word is our plumb line. We make our decisions based on the word of God. Somebody comes to you and asks you about a certain situation or a thing, we should tell them, but let me see, if we don't already know, if I already know, you know, the word of God say this, the word of God say that. I'm basing my decisions and everything on God's word because I belong to him. We belong to him. We don't belong to ourselves anymore, so we can't make these decisions on our own no more. In all things, we are to glorify God in our families, our decisions, in our personal life. God do not expect for me to live apart from him. When you read the 15th chapter of St. John, he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So when we start trying to do things apart from God, we going to get in trouble. I don't care who. This is not my word. I'm just saying what God say. Apart from him, we can do nothing. And that's what the enemy always been trying to do in the God, from the Garden of Eden when they got separated from God, Adam and Eve. And he's still trying to do it today. So the best place he can get that done, well, in the church. Once he can put some poison and start putting poison inside what is pure, what is holy, when he start trying to dilute the word of God, it's not the word of God no more. We're looking for power. We're looking for the anointing, the unction upon our life. We want to get out here and influence things for the kingdom's sake. We want to reach people for the kingdom's sake. We want to see people coming into the kingdom. Satan wants the opposite. So, saints, we're going to have to stand against even some things inside the church. When Jesus Christ came, who he had to stand against? The religious leaders. They were talking about, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this, 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 that. And if we get in that word, and I love it, because they ask, well, I'm not going to touch that, but tonight, but they ask Jesus a question. They ask Jesus a question, and it is St. John. And they ask him a question, said, what must we do to do the work of God? Jesus gave them such a simple answer. Very simple. But what I want to do, and I had to start out this way, because we are living in a time of deception, of betrayal, of denial, denying that God is God in the church now, denying the Holy Spirit, trying to change the word of God. And before I read this, let me share this with the saints, please. This bell, because if I don't finish tonight by the grace of God, I'll finish next week, but think about this, please. We as Christians, we ain't of the world. We in the world. We don't look like the world. We don't smell like the world. We walk and live our life according to the word of God. And by us doing that, people know we don't have to even open our mouth. People go automatically know something different about you. I ain't even got to say nothing. But think about this, please. In your mind, I'm a man, all man. They made a law saying two men can marry. Please understand that. That don't even make no sense. If that ain't perversion at its lowest, what? And the world is saying it's okay. Now you got some churches saying it's okay. So what are we telling God? You didn't know what you was doing? You ain't God no more. They passed a law in saying two women can marry each other. And the world say, that's okay. I'm going along with God. They telling me, say, you're homophobic. No, I'm not. I love people. They can take that word and throw it away. I really don't care. I love people. I tell them I'm not. But I'm standing on the word of God. It don't change. The world want to categorize you. The world want to put you in a place where it want to shame you. Now understand, saints, they're not ashamed of this, but they want to throw something at you to make you ashamed. They want to make you ashamed of serving God. They want to make you ashamed of calling the name of Jesus. That's what they want to do. Now listen, look behind it to see who it is. It's Satan. That's what this fight's about. Please don't ever forget what this fight's about. All this chaos that's going on in the street. I was just reading the other day where a woman put her child in the oven. Now, how demented could you get? Fathers molesting their children. You can't even trust your sons at school no more with the teachers. But look behind all this. Please, this thing is not natural. It's spiritual. It's a demonic, perverse spirit behind all this mess. And if we don't look at it, we're going to get caught up in the hype. Telling you now. We get in the word of God, use our weapons that God has given us, and go out and preach and teach the gospel, be a witness. We ain't going to change the world. Forget it. The world ain't going to change. The word of God said the world going to pass away. That's it. We need to be a witness to the people in the world. Because if the people don't change, saints, listen to this, please. If the people's hearts don't change, I don't care who you put in Washington. I don't care who your governor is, who your representative is. If their heart ain't changed toward God, you just got one another mess. That's all you got. So our job is to be a witness to the kingdom of God, to go out and preach the gospel, to evangelize. That's our job. We don't get caught up in the hype. But I'm saying this to you. Everyone has to make their own decision. Me, I've made mine. I represent one kingdom and one kingdom alone. And that's the kingdom of God. That's it. I made my choice. But I want to, like I said, I may not finish tonight. But what it is, I want to come from Matthew, the seventh chapter, and starting at the 15th verse. And it say, beware of false prophets who come disguised. And I'm reading from Life Application, okay? It said, beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really wolves that will tear you apart. You can detect them by the way they act. Now, this is not what they say now. Because, see, I can talk good. Okay, I love to talk, I don't tell you, but I know the right thing to say. Foolishness, I ain't got time for. Okay, you can tell them by the way they act. Just as you can identify a tree by its fruits, you can pick grapes from. Okay, so you don't pick grapes from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles. A healthy tree produces good fruit, and an unhealthy tree produces bad fruit. Okay? A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and an unhealthy tree can't produce good fruit. Can't do it. So every tree, now listen, they will tell you, you're judging me. If I tell you that I'm a Christian, I'm a born again believer in the Lord, and every time you see me, every time you hear me, okay, I'm talking holy, but I'm doing something contrary to my Christian faith. You say, wait a minute, something wrong with this. I'm seeing some fruit. He's telling me he's a peach tree, but I'm seeing pears. You're not judging me. You telling me what's on my tree. But what the enemy want to tell you, you can't judge nobody. But the word of God just said, you can tell what kind of tree it is, what kind of person it is by what they do. And none of us is perfect. We're walking toward perfection. We're not going to attain perfection till we meet our Savior, our Lord, our King, face to face. Then we'll attain perfection. But until then, he's making and molding me and shaping me into the image of his Son, day by day. That's what God's doing. But if I'm doing today what I did 2 or 3 years ago, and it's a constant thing, so I'm wrong somewhere. If I'm up there preaching and I'm changing the word of God, and I'm kind of manipulating the word of God and twisting it to fit my need and to put you in bondage to get an advantage over you or get gain over you, something is wrong. Because remember, who the Son says free is free indeed. God will never put you in bondage. You got to understand this. Never, he will never, ever. Why would he free you and then tell you, you got a choice to live any way you want to live? It's your choice. And I freed you from the clutches of Satan. Satan put you in bondage. God said, I don't. In Galatians, Paul said, who be with you? You don't enter back into bondage. Who be with you? Understand that, who be with you? Who beguiled you? And this is what's going on. Strength, you are free. It was one that died on the cross for you, Jesus Christ. And Jesus, it wasn't a man up there. He wanted us to obey our leaders. But if our leaders are walking contrary to the word of God, you will be, and God done showed you, you will be held accountable. He will be, he or she will be held accountable for their actions. You will be held accountable for your actions. Jesus Christ saved me. And I give nobody, no man, that authority over my life but God. That's the only one. Because, understand, Satan has crept into the church. And he want to make merchandise of God's people. All kinds of stuff is going on. I was watching a video the other day on my Facebook page. I'm looking and I'm saying it was nothing but entertainment. The choir was marching in. The young adults choir was marching in. And they was doing stepping. They were stepping in the church. Now it's entertainment. And everybody got so hyped and clapping. Where this coming from? I thought the church was a hospital. You come in to get prayer. You come in for deliverance. You come in to be encouraged. You come in for the fellowship with one another in love and peace and unity. But now so many of them have became a social club. I'm saying, Lord, what's going on? And then we pray, Lord, we want power. We want power. You got to understand, God is a holy God. When you read that Bible, okay, God told his people when they were finna go over there, they went to spy out the land. They went over and they came back with a bad report. They said they wasn't going to go. These jokers wanted to go back into Egypt, in the world. When things get hard, a lot of people want to run from God, but that's time to run to God. We got to understand, saints. But they want to go back to Egypt. So God told Moses, Moses, step back. Let me destroy these people. Okay? But then what they did, they told Moses, well, Moses, I tell you what, we go go up. We go go up. Moses told the people, if you go up, God ain't going to be with you. See, understand this now, please, saints. First, they were scared. They wanted to turn back. Okay? After God talked to God, told Moses, Moses went to the people, told them what God said. He said, okay, we're going to go up. We're going to go up. Now, it wasn't about what God wanted. It was what they wanted. Moses told the people, you go up, God ain't going to be with you. So what in essence they were saying, we ain't going to walk with you when you want us to walk with you. Now, we want to go up and we want you to come with us. How crazy can that be? My prayer to God is, Lord, help me to walk with you. Lord, help me to wherever you lead. Because, see, sometimes the path I want to walk on ain't where God want me to go. So I pray, Lord, help me to walk with you. I need you to lead me and guide with me. And help me to walk up right before you. Not my will, but thy will. Not my way, but your way. This is what we need to do, saints. But I tell people, when I minister to people, I say, I want to just give you the truth. Not my word, but his word. And I tell them, what you do with it is up to you. I'm going to pray for you. Not only that you receive it, but you walk in line with the word. Before I came on tonight, I asked God, don't let me say anything that's not of you. Don't let me say anything that you don't want me to say. I only want to say what you give me to say. I said, Lord, I need you to speak to me and through me. I don't want you to hear my word. I want you to hear the words of God. Saints, we have power. But that God ain't going to share it with the world. He ain't going to do it. The same way when Satan came in the Garden of Eden, he took over. The world became his. He didn't take over. They gave it to him. But when they gave it, and the same thing with our lives. Same thing with our lives. When we allow him to come in, and we're not perfect. None of us are. Not one of us are perfect. But saints, our hearts toward God. God know in your heart you love him. Nobody see when we mess up. Okay, I'm going to say it this way. Nobody see when I mess up, I lay before God and cry. And I have that contrite spirit. Because I did something to hurt my Savior. I did something to displease him. So I repent, and repentance is a turning away, turning your back on that thing, and don't go back to it. It ain't what I say. It's what I do. I can mess up and say I repent and go right back to it. Do it again, Lord, I repent. That's not repentance that you think you're playing God. But saints, we have to be very mindful of what's going on in the church. We got to be mindful of what we eat. Because if you eat them, and I remember this, if you eat, he said, his words is life. Okay, his words is life. His word, in 17th chapter of St. John, he said, you are now clean by the word. Now listen to this, please. If we are clean by the word, if you are clean by the word that I have spoken to you, then in the first chapter of St. John, I love St. John. He's in the beginning with the word was with God, the word was with God. Then it says, and the word was God. And the word became life, manifested. So when we speak in the word, we speak in Jesus. We put Jesus on some stuff. You can't separate them. We can't. That's why the enemy wants to come in and dilute, water down, and change the word of God. Because once we allow him to do that, it's not the word anymore. It's not. Now we're preaching something else. And we can't allow that. When I say we can't allow that, we as an individual, for myself, I have to preach the word of God. I don't care who do and who don't. I'm going to do it. They can say, well, my pastor, I tell them, go to the word. Let's look at the word. I said, let's look at the word of God. And I let them read for themselves what the word of God says. Now they know the truth. Now they have to make a conscious decision. It's on them. We are the whole. We don't show partiality to nobody. We stand firm on the word of God, and you're gonna lose some friends. And if you lose them, they really weren't friends anyway. Because who God gives you to be in your life, they'll be in your life. I got a call from a young brother out of Savannah. He called me. I've been knew him. He called yesterday. I thank God for the young brother. And he gave his life to the Lord. I said, Lord, and I thank God for that. Because God go use that young brother. Now, I may die today. I may whenever. I don't know when. But one thing for sure, I reach one for the Lord. And God may use that young brother to reach many. And this is what it's about. We standing for it ain't. Well, I don't got this man. I got a church full of people, and it ain't the number. If God done call you just to reach one, two, how many? God could use it. Anyone they reach, they reached it through you. Cause you're the father or mother in Christ. That's what this thing's about. Spreading the gospel. Reaching the people. I got a couple. I want to read this. What I just read from Matthew 7. And listen to this, saints. Whenever the stirring or truth disciple are taught, the truth of the discipleship are taught, there are false prophets who advocate the wide gate and easy way. They always go teach it's the wide gate and the easy way. The false prophets do. The watered-down truth. C.F. Spurgeon said, there is not enough left to make soup for a six grasshopper. These men who profess to be speaking for God came in sheep clothing, giving the appearance of being true believers, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves. They are vicious unbelievers who prowl the immature and unstable and the gullible. Verse 16 and 18 deal with the detection of false prophets. That means how you can tell them, okay? It says you will know them by their fruits. Their lucidious lies and destructive teaching betray them. A plant produces fruit according to its character. And he's talking about people now. According to your character, if you got a 11 kind, regenerated spirit, that's the character you're going to portray. Always learn a person's spirit. If you know the spirit of a person, you're going to know that person. Okay? It's a tree planted, a tree or plant produces according to the character. Thorn bushes cannot bear grapes. Thistles cannot bear figs. A good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. This principle is true in the natural world and in the spiritual world. The life and teaching of those who claim to speak for God should be tested by the word of God. Whatever I'm saying right now, you line it up and see, do it match the word of God. I don't care who it is, me or anybody else. Always keep your Bible with you, pencil and paper. And you, whatever being taught, whatever being said, line it up and do your research. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And that is in Isaiah 18:20. The destiny of the false prophet is to be thrown into the fire. The doom of false teachers and prophets is swift destruction. 2 Peter 2:1. You will know them by their fruits. You will know them by their behavior. You will know them. Don't be fools, saints. Don't be so in love. Be in love with Jesus Christ, in love with the Holy Spirit. It's in Colossians 3, it says, if you be risen with Christ, set your mind on things above. If we are truly risen with Christ, don't be fascinated with this world. Don't be fascinated. God don't mind you having stuff. Don't ever let the stuff have you. God blesses us with stuff. But he don't want you to let the stuff that he has given you and bless you with to control you, to make you think you better than thou. Or your time, or your money, or your press, whatever. We are to be humble and of a lowly mind, but we are to walk as lions. We are eagles. I'm telling you, we are strength. We are victorious. We are the people of God, but we still supposed to keep a humble spirit. We boast and brag in the cross of Christ. We don't boast and brag in ourselves, in our position, what I have, who I am, my title. We boast and brag in the cross of Christ and what he has accomplished for his people. And that now says, so I'm going to just end it up, and I pray that you, I'm going to finish next week. By the grace of God, I am. But beware. Because this is the end times that we're living in. And what's going on out there, don't be caught up in it. Father, I thank you and I praise you for the word that you've given me to share. I was first partaker of it, and I shared it with your people. I thank you and I praise you for the victory. I thank you and I praise you, Father God, for all that you have done for your people. In Jesus' name, right now, I ask you to set your angels watch around each and every household. Right now, that is listening, that is under the sound of my voice, protect, keep, guide, and watch over whatever the needs are. It is so. It is done. All our needs have already been supplied because you are our shepherd. And I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We want to thank our brother Elder for the word he gave us tonight. And how we were blessed beyond our understanding. But the most important thing is it was a DOS. It was the gospel of Jesus Christ, the word. We're living in that time right now where we got to make a real decision. If you're on God's side, on the good side. Otherwise, you together. Because God has called all of us. We're preaching not because we called to preach. We're preaching because God has blessed us to preach. So I want to thank Elder for being on tonight. And right now we have a young lady out of Beaumont. Her name is Prophetess. Are you there? Praise God. Praise God. Are you there? Praise God. Are you there?
I'm here, but I'm not a prophetess. I'm not a prophetess. I'm Miss Minkins, Prophetess Minkins' guest.
Oh, okay. Well, are we waiting on her? Is she on the line with you?
No. She said call at 6:30. I try to be prompt.
Well, she's on the
I
line.
I am here.
Oh,
hello, everybody. Hello,
hey,
everybody.
Go ahead. You got
I am blessed. I am blessed. How's everybody doing on this beautiful Wednesday? First of all, before I get started, we're going to pray. Father God, we just want to thank you, Father God, for using us today, Father God. We just thank you for this day, Father God. Father God, we thank you. We ask you, God, to bring remembrance to whatever you want me to say, Father God. Holy Spirit, have your way. And we just give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise, oh God. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Well, how is everybody doing? Everybody's doing okay? Amen. Amen. Well, tonight I was trying to think about what I had wanted to speak on. Well, I guess I'll go ahead and speak about the mistakes and failures that we make. I'm not the person to judge anybody, but we must also learn that procrastination cause us to miss out on our blessings. And I've learned and throughout the years, you know, if somebody say one thing and they do something else, that's procrastinate. But I just thank God for his steadfast, you know, for using me. For you, stop. For using me for using me in my in this walk that he had me on. Today I got my grandbaby from school and I had all kind of roadblocks. I mean, I'm just getting home, but you know what? The devil can't stop whatever God has for me. So I just thank God for that. I just thank God for that. But yes, it's just so much
don't
going on
make
right
you
now.
Mad.
Yes. But you know what? I laughed in the devil's face because I knew I was going to make it. I knew it. He couldn't stop me.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't stop me. What God has for me is for me. And I was looking at when I got to the corner, they had some homeless people. And I had heard today on my prayer line that a homeless person in Houston had gotten beat up last night. So just pray
mm-hmm.
that. I don't know who he is. They didn't say his name, but just pray for it. Just so much going on right now. It's just, it's a shifting in the atmosphere. Amen. And you can almost feel it. You just have to be very mindful. You have to be very, you have to be in prayer. You have to just be in prayer. It's just so much. But you know what? God don't put no more on us than we can bear. But I just got keep praying, I keep walking, and I just ask God for clarification on a lot of things because, you know, even though you know different people have different gifts, you definitely have to pray, and you can't do that by yourself. God, I mean, people, I hear people saying, well, I say so and so. No, God gave you that gift. God did that. He used you, and it is a privilege. For me, it's a privilege to be used by God. Amen. But
that's the truth right there, Denise. That is the truth
uh-huh.
right there. But you made a statement, and I want to kind of take that apart and let's see what we get at. You said
right.
God don't put no more on you than you could bear. But I was thinking. Now, this is just me. Let's see what everybody else think about it. It's not so much that God put on you anything, because anything that's not of God, we know that comes from the devil. So your obstacles and people that have procrastination, they have procrastinations that are willing, and they don't even realize that it's a willing procrastination, such as, oh, the phone ringing. Let me see who this is. I got to catch this call. Something that you put on yourself, God didn't put on you. So
I know that the
statement that so many people who are not that don't know the truth. I know you do. I'm just saying, that don't know the truth. They always say, "Our God don't put no more on you than you can bear." The devil puts everything bad on you. I've been going through, and not only in my body, but in my mind, so much until I actually, and God, I thank you for forgiving me, but I've actually allowed myself to get depressed. That's not good. God didn't put depression on me.
It's because of
what I'm going through. You said hold it?
No, go ahead.
Oh, it's because of what I'm going through that the enemy, because he could see in the spirit, he knows that God is about to bless me and to bring my healing, the manifestation of my healing any second now. And so he crept in, and he did a little this and a little of that. And, you know, I found myself very in a lot of tears today. I cried all day. And that's not good, because I'm supposed to be believing God for what he can do and what he has done. And so
that
I asked God to forgive me for that.
Yes, that's distraction.
It's an emotional distraction.
Yes.
And that's not good. I have a saying, you can't wear your emotions on your sleeve. Well, it's not that I wore them on my sleeve. I wore them on the whole darn shirt today, and I had to ask God to forgive me. And what I did was I put some praise and worship on, and then I began listening at the word. And that's bringing me out of it, but it's the idea that the devil is so conniving and sneaky. He puts stuff on you, then he changed the word that God has in the Bible, and this is for you to use the word wrongly, and you still miss out. You still miss out. Everything, I could do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me, and I have to believe that. I have to believe that God said that I'm marvelously and wonderfully put together.
Okay. Yes.
And so, you know, and even with procrastination, I think there are various ways of procrastination also. As you have said, you learned that procrastination is one thing. And it's various ways. I mean, all of a sudden time gotten away from you and you got to go cook for Tina and your husband, you know, and you like, where did time go? You didn't procrastinate in your timing. It just got from you because you got busy doing this, that, and the other. So your time management wasn't done wisely because things happen.
Why do you think people procrastinate? Why?
I think that a lot of people procrastinate because that's what they choose to do. And the reason why they choose to do it is we don't realize one thing, and that's we have what we say. God, when he decided to create this whole world, he spoke it into existence. And when people speak things into the atmosphere, the devil is going to take it and run with it. And some people say, I am a procrastinator, I can't help it. Well, they are what they say. And they do become that procrastinator. And they willingly do it. And the reason why I say willingly is because they got comfortable in that area of their life. And they not. It's hard to get them to change it. And it's hard for them to, you know, go on for it. They don't even pray about it. Procrastination comes from just purity laziness. People procrastinate
And you know what? They wait for a perfect condition to act, or the fear. Some people do it for the fear of stepping out. Either they step out of they don't want to step out of their comfort zone, you know.
And you know, I think I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I think that's a bad thing that we have learned to do, that habit. and procrastination is a form of a habit. But I think that's a bad thing that we do. We have to remind ourselves that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And when you don't step out your comfort zone, like you said, that's fear. Because what if I don't like it out there? That's why when people get saved, they only do so much, and they're not going to do no more else because they number one, they're afraid, and number two, they say, okay, well, this is the best that I could do. So, you know, sense of speaking, low self-esteem about themselves because they don't think that they're good enough or they should be able to do this, that, and the other. And that's not good. See, again, they have spoken it or it was spoken on them, and they ran with it.
Yes, yes. And that's why they say the life and death is in the power of your tongue.
Exactly.
You have to, you have to be very careful about what you speak and how you speak it. And, you know, there are so many people that are hurting and that need prayer. They need encouragement. And then when they get with certain people, guess what? They procrastinate and then they mislead the people. I have seen that so many times, and it just, it's almost like church hurt, you know?
But
they have,
do they realize that they are misleading that person or people?
That's true. That is so true. That is so true.
Sometimes they realize it, and sometimes they don't. Because just by, you know, the world used to say, and they still say it, they say this, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Because power is in the
power
you
is in the tongue.
Right?
You can say
the
things.
Power is in the, that's right. So
speaking
that
things,
means,
speaking things, speaking things.
Power,
so people can say something
life
to hurt
in the
you.
Power of the tongue. If
yes.
life and death is in the power of the tongue, then we better be careful what we say. If somebody
yes.
told you you're fat and ugly, and they tell it to you all the time, you're going to believe that you're fat and ugly, and no matter what diet you go on, you cannot lose no weight. And with all the technology today, you can't even make yourself pretty. And you might be a size 6, and you just think you're a size 16 because they have spoke that on
it's
you.
A mind thing.
Why, yeah.
It's a mind
yeah.
thing. It's a mind thing,
it's
you know.
That's
why you have to pray for your – look, that's why you have to pray for your mind. You know, I have a book that with prayers in it for your mind, praying for your mind. You know, and that's why I ask God to open my eyes and open my spiritual ears that I hear Him and that not of a stranger. But you know, people got to be careful how they speak too, because whatever come out your mouth, certain people, you know, it comes to pass. And I don't like the word procrastination, but it's true. People does that.
Procrastination is definitely true. And again, you know, fear is true too. But we also, to get rid of procrastination in the spirit of fear, you got to send that Holy Ghost fire around that spirit so it don't come into you. That's a door that was opened through Satan himself. And God has to seal that door shut with the Holy Ghost fire around it. Look, seal it in his blood. And then when we say our prayer, in our prayer life, we have to address the issue of what we say. We're not going to just blame it on everybody else, but what we say and what other folks say, what they even think about you as a person and a child of God. Because you don't know what a person thinks. If they don't tell you, you don't have no clue to what they're thinking. And so we have to be careful about what they say. We have to be able to snatch it out of the atmosphere. That's why part of my prayer is that any words that will suck to bring me harm, that I could snatch it out of the atmosphere, and I could cause it to stop, halt, cease, desist, die, to wither, to die, to be dismantled, to be canceled, to be annihilated, to be denounced. You have to make sure you cover everything. Holy Ghost fire.
Yes.
Those doors that were open, that we open knowingly and unknowingly. Holy Ghost fire around it, so it'll be sealed with the blood of Jesus. And if the fire is there to protect it, you can't swim through the blood, and you definitely can't get through Holy Ghost fire. So guess what? That door shut forever. That door shut.
Amen.
And we have to understand that, because if we don't understand the words that we say, some people, and they could be I ain't ashamed to say it. You got people in the church that have their little cliques that cause all kinds of confusion and aggravation amongst the church, and then they sit back, them and their clique, and they think that is a good thing. And you have people that cannot receive from what the pastors are saying, whoever is in charge of that church, because they keep an aggravation and discord amongst the church.
Yes.
And they really don't think that they're going to have to pay the consequences for that.
Yes.
And then, and because you have some people that will study the word, so they're not procrastinating. They're going to go do what they're supposed to do. And then you got some people who think, oh, girl, I listened to me some gospel music, and Tamala, man, was real good. Sue over there, she's a man in her, but nobody said how they opened up the word and what God gave them as another understanding, because we're all about getting an understanding. You can't get an understanding if you're not in that word, and you can't take the pastor's word for it because he might have made a mistake. That's why you study and show yourself approval. But if you're procrastinating, you're not studying, and you're going to hold on to either that clique over there that's a mess, or you're going to hold on to untruth. And it'd be easy for you to grab onto those untruths because you was procrastinating and being sorry, trifling, and lazy, and won't get in the word yourself.
Yeah.
Preacher, like you are a prophet, prophecies, you know, I can't say that good. A preacher, a prophet, anybody that gets over the pulpit and bring forth the word, they have one powerful job, and God bless them. And I pray that all of them will bring all truth, not half truth. Don't change the word for their understanding, or let's say, for their convenience.
In other words, water it down. No.
Exactly.
No.
Because what are you doing? No. See, first of all, if you procrastinate, you don't know no better because you ain't studying your word. But what are you doing for a person? Say I'm a very new person in Christ, which I'm fairly new. But let's say I'm a brand new baby in Christ. If I see you not being any different from the world, why do I want to come to you? If I see that pastor, male or female pastor, not doing what he or she is supposed to be doing, why do I want to attend their church? Why? You ain't showing me no different than what's in the world. So that means I can procrastinate till the cows come home. Ain't no different than you, so why should it be different than me? I always tell you, only good is your leader.
But
and
you know what? They had
led,
look, they had a young lady that I met at a store, and she was going through some things, and me and Tina, we prayed for her and everything, and I invited her to come to the church. And you know, she took a while, and then she brought her son there because her son was going through some things. And weeks and months passed by, and she joined our church. And she said her son, you know, he enjoyed, you know, in children's ministry because, you know, they get a chance to learn the word. They're not in there with us, with the adults, but they have their own, you know, they have their own Bible study in the morning, and somebody come and give them, you know, communion and stuff like that. But they enjoyed that. She had, she was enjoying a church, and I noticed that she would come and sit by me, but I didn't know what was going on. So all of a sudden, she just stopped coming to church, and I was like, "Is anything wrong?" And it, and she was noticing the cliques that were in the church, and I was like, you know, she said, you are totally different from the people in there. You don't feel, I said, I mean, I'm not there for them. I'm there to get the word for myself, you know, for me. And she left the church. She didn't leave it because of what I said. She left it because she said she just didn't, wasn't, you know, she just got out of a situation at her church, but she didn't like the cliques because, you know, when she first got there, everything was okay. But then after a while, she started seeing people, you know. And she has a gift, but I talked to her from time to time after the situation, and she said she's just waiting on God. But that's what I was talking about, you know, life and death and the power of the tongue. You got to be careful how you know you speak, and people could be sitting down and hearing different things.
That's true.
And that's part
that's true.
Of, and that's
of course,
part
the
of,
devil wanted her to hear that.
Yep.
Whatever happened in that church.
And I told her, I said, you don't let the devil steal your joy. I said, you dare to get filled. You dare to get delivered from some, from some things. I said, and your son, he's doing so much better in school. I say, and he wasn't a bad kid. He was, kids, they go through things, yes. And peer pressure at school and stuff like that. But he has started doing better in school. His whole demeanor had changed. And time she stopped and she moved him from another school, she's having more problems. But I told her, I say, I can't do it for you. You can't, you got to do it for yourself. You got to want God for yourself. I can't push, and I'm not going to push him on you. I said, because the Holy Ghost is a gentleman, and he don't push himself on you neither. You know? You can only do so much.
Well, that's the truth, but see, the people have to ask themselves this question. When it's all said and done, I came home from church today. I got saved. I got excited. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, how far do I want to go? Do I want to run the whole race? Or do I just want to sit back and say, I got saved and I got Holy Ghost filled? Well, you got to feed the Holy Ghost like you feed yourself. I'm a person that loves food, so I'm going to eat. But I got to feed the Holy Ghost too. I got to want to have the joy of the Lord in my heart, because we are faced with all kinds of difficulties, all kinds of tasks that we have to do. And in order for us to pass this, we have to be Holy Ghost filled. We have to be full of joy, because joy keeps us healed. Joy keeps us healed. And we got to want to. We got to want to. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. We got to want God for who he is, because he's not going to change, but he'll change
us. That's right.
Because ain't none of us got no heart, no good heart, none of us. And I don't care I told my nephew this. I was witnessing to my nephew. He said, Auntie, I'm a good man. I said, and hell is full of good men. And I said, because you think you're a good man. God said, ain't none of our heart good, no, not a one. And if you don't do it the way God wants you to do it, you're going to be saying that right there in hell. You got to be good to allow God to change your heart, and that's to take off the old and put on the new. And it's a constant every day, every minute, every second battle. And if we don't do it, we're going to find ourselves, as I say, wearing our emotions on our sleeves. And I wish somebody would have told me that today, because I wouldn't have been just hooping, hollering, crying all day long. I was very upset. Some things that people say, and that's another what you're saying, what you say, it affects you, you know. And it just the journey that I'm on, but I had to think about what God has done for me thus far. Amen. And
amen.
He gets the glory.
He
gets
the
glory.
Yes,
so,
he does.
I don't know.
Yes, he does.
But what do you think about when a person is when a person is at a standstill? What do you think about when a person, it's not that they don't believe God don't hear them, but they just think God don't hear them. And that means
God has them sit down for a reason. But they, you have to, they're not questioning. You know, where is their faith? Where is their faith? You know, and the word, it says, we walk by faith and not by sight. A lot of times I'd be at a crossword, and I had to, just sit there and just pray. God wants, you're talking about, well, I'm not hearing God. But he hear you. He already know, but he want to hear you. It want to come out your mouth. He wanted to hear you come out, come out your mouth. You know, you have to speak those things as though they were. You know, I just thank God for my healing. I just ask God to open my eyes. I thank God for my family. But, sometimes we get in God's way. A lot of times, a lot of times we get in God's way. And the reason why we can't hear him, because we in the way. We're in the way.
Well, now, I agree with you on part of that, because I am a Miss Fix It. And I had to sit back and say, okay, God. But I find that a lot of times when we are unsure, I'm gonna say this. It's a big piece of the. It's a piece of the pie. When we go through certain things and it seems like God don't move us, and I think a piece of that pie is the forgiving the people that said things that hurt you. If you can't forgive that person, how do you think you're going to move on? Because you expect God to forgive
have
you.
Unforgiveness so, in your heart. He's not going to hear you like that.
Exactly. You can't have, you can't, but you have to also realize that you have unforgiveness and the surefire way of knowing that you did not forgive a person that I come to believe is because whatever they've done to offend you, to hurt you, or hide was you played over and over in your head. And the more you played in your head, the more angry you become. And that's a root that's taking hold, that's growing sternly and strong. And I think that has a lot to do with sometimes to tie it in with procrastination, our procrastination, because why do I want to do this if I'm going to still feel this hurt? And I haven't allowed God to help me to forgive that person. And therefore, I don't want to go no further with you, God, because you really ain't did nothing for me. Mm. Some people might think that. And that's hard, but they got to understand that the devil brought forth that dilemma that they're in to make sure that you don't go no further so you could be right. And the thing about the devil that pissed me off is this. He will lead you to hell, but he ain't going there with you.
No, of course not.
He's going, but he ain't going to go right then and there. That's it.
Right.
But anyway, it's 6:30. I don't know if we can continue to talk all about conversation.
No, it's 6:57. But anybody else have some insight on anything that we are speaking about at this time?
Oh, there are all these other people on the line, and I did all that talking? I'm sorry, y'all. I love to talk. I'm so sorry.
Anybody else have some input on what we're discussing right now? Okay. All right. Well, it is 6:57, and I'm going to pray.
Preach the word.
I'm going to say a prayer, and it's a prayer for our mind. And I really appreciate you, Melinda Minkins. That's my sister-in-law from Houston. And I just appreciate Dr. Hunter for blessing me. But I thank God for using me. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Lord. And the prayer is, Lord, help us to be strong in our minds and our spirits so we don't fall into traps of the enemy. Do not allow us to be led into temptation, but deliver us from evil, from the evil one that is, and his plans for anybody's downfall. The area I am most concerned about is whatever's in your life that's going on, like your health or your family, your anybody in your family, you know, just pray for that. And Jesus, I break any hold of temptation on me or anybody on this line. Keep us strong and able to resist anything that would tempt away from all you have taught us. I pray that we have no secrets, no thoughts, no secret thoughts, where we are entertaining ungodly desires to do or to say something that shouldn't be said. I pray, and I have no secrets in my life where I do things I would be ashamed. Because he see and he knows everything. As in Ephesians 5 in it, Okay. As in Ephesians 5 and 11, we ask God to expose anything that is not of him in our life. Amen.
Amen.
And I just thank God. And I say, Lord, my prayer is, Lord, don't allow the enemy to sneak up and blindside or take me or anybody by surprise. And I just thank God for that. I thank God for that. So with that being said, it is 6:59, and my time is almost up. Hold on, let me see something. Yeah, my time is 7 o'clock. So let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
Dr. Hunter? Dr. Hunter? Amen. I don't know if he's still there or what. Oh, well. Okay, then. Well, everybody have a blessed evening. And I will talk to y'all next weekend. We'll pick up from where we left off of. Have a blessed evening, everybody. Bye-bye.
Go ahead, my brother. Can you do it?
I can do it through you, through your phone. I can't dial it myself.
Well, take the plug off the ear. Do you have your earphone on?
No, I'm talking to you through my car radio. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but I can hear you.
Okay, am I live?
You are live. Go ahead.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. Once again, this is Pastor Keith Chopin from Houston, Texas, and I pray that all is well with you all tonight. Tonight, I'd like to talk to you about looking backwards and about the time we have on Earth in this life. Tonight, I'm reminded I think about
Talk Radio. Goodbye.